Okay, so Bruce K, the floor is yours.
Hey, I'm Bruce. I'm a sober alcoholic. What is it, 15 minutes or so, Louisa? Okay, 15 minutes ish. And bear with me. As I mentioned to some of you, I got up. I had about 3 hours of sleep due to travel. Being sober has given me the courage to do the things that I need to do that I don't necessarily want to do when I had to fly. I live in Taos, New Mexico, in the States. Had to fly to the East Coast to see my brother, who's dying in hospice. And I haven't seen him in 10 years. And it was really, really great. And part of being, partly for being sober and partly for my, awakening and spiritual journey, got me to show up for him and his family, and a lot of love, a lot of tears shed, a lot of laughter, life on life's terms. And I wouldn't have done that if I was still drinking. So, excuse me. Anyway, that's just why I'm sleepy. I started drinking when I was 12. And I loved it immediately. I loved that when I drank, it felt like when the alcohol went into my belly, the actual sun or a star opened in my stomach. And I've arrived. It was warm, it was comforting, and it was embracing, and it was loving, like the love I didn't get in the kind of insane household that I lived in. And that scarred me for a long time. And I started drinking with friends, and then I didn't want to drink with friends. I just wanted to drink alone. And very risky behaviors. And I drank, for me, and I only speak for me, I don't speak for AA or anybody else. I don't have all the answers. I do have all the answers for me because I am the CEO of me. And the world revolves around here for most of us, and that's about it for me. So, as a CEO of Bruce, I can tell you that I was not born an alcoholic. I developed alcoholism because I wanted to numb the horrible, horrible, brutal upbringing. And I shouldn't say horrible, horrible, but pretty rough upbringing that I had, and the insanity in the household and the noise that was in my head. So I didn't know that the more I drank, the more I was becoming addicted to it. And without going into a drunk log, I barely graduated high school. Like most of us, everyone I know, the thousands and thousands of alcoholics I've met all over the world, in person, when we had, did in-person meetings before, is that we're very smart, we're very creative, we're very resilient, we're very tough, we're very sensitive. And I was able to put myself through a couple years of college, and then I quit. And anyway, I wanted to replace the attunement I never got from my mom because she had 30 shock treatments and was never around. It was quite abusive, but also quite loving and funny. And so I searched out women to fill that hole. And I didn't want to be in a relationship unless that person drank as well. And anyway, this went on for a long time, and I can tell you that I was angry my whole life. My brother and sister are still so angry. And there are people who've been traumatized like us. I don't know anybody who hasn't gone through some sort of trauma in the world that repress that trauma so much they don't realize they're traumatized. And that's still with my brother and sister and most and a lot of the people in the world. And blame others for their lives, and I don't blame anyone for my life. I accept full responsibility for my life. My external condition is a direct relation to my internal condition, I believe. And I believe in, the Buddhist and the science of cause and effect. Whatever I do is going to have a positive or negative effect, if you will. And those effects affect every single one of us. So I didn't realize it. So I blamed a lot of people for a lot of things. Angry, angry, angry. If I could just have money and I could just have the perfect woman, the perfect relationship, everything would be fine. And I didn't. I left home at 17 and I moved to Colorado when I taught skiing. And but I was anxiety ridden most of the time. And the more anxiety I had, the more dope I smoked, or the more I wasn't really a drug guy. I mean, I did drugs, but it was more alcohol was legal and cheaper and easier to get. So I've wrapped my car around things and I got arrested for stealing my own car, which is just, it's a story in itself for another meeting, and guns to my head. And I have to tell you, I knew there was something always, and I think we all have this inner compass for most of us who are, for most of us, we probably have this rational compass that tells us, this isn't the right way to go. This isn't really going to work in the long term. This is not a good retirement plan. And I was a happy drunk, unless you screwed me. And then I really wanted to take revenge, and I did. And I blame my parents for everything, and siblings, and the world, and how unfair everything is. And then, it stopped working. It stopped working a long time before I got sober. It just stopped working. And the hangovers and the alcohol poisoning were worse because I kept trying to drink more. It's like you take an aspirin and it doesn't work. You take two aspirins, that's not working. I'll take two more, and you have a stomach ache from the Advil. There are a lot of things in life and goes between. It's not really that important. The important thing is that it's looking for answers and solutions to quote unquote happiness for my life through people, places, and things, and alcohol specifically. I went fishing with a friend of mine who was not an alcoholic. We drank together. He was definitely not an alcoholic. And I had 2 days before that, I was doing a show in New York. And it was a Sunday night. It was at a club. And I was terrible. We were terrible. Well, the audience was terrible. And there was like five people in the audience somewhat clapping at the end on a Sunday night, horrible gig. And I said to myself, I'm not going to drink. I'm just not going to drink anymore. And I had about eight Diet Cokes. And as the night progressed and everybody was drinking, I couldn't do it anymore and just started having rum and coke, which is not something I normally drink, and got seriously shit faced and poisoned. Alcohol poisoning. And the next day went early with my friend fishing. And anyway, I got out of the car and he went down to the creek, and I stood in the middle of this road, and I had no idea what was about to come, but I put my face up to the sun, and just like two plates in my head, literally, I felt go, really heard that in my head. I never drank again. I didn't know what that was then, but I know what it is now. And I went back. I was living in New York at the time, and in New York City, and went back. And we had, big phone books. We didn't have this. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers or anything like that. And looked up, if you look in the white pages, it starts with A, and it goes A to about 20 AAAAAs. And I saw AA in there, AA in there. And I didn't want to call AA because I didn't want to be in this Judeo-Christian, mostly Christian organization. And I'm not one of you. I don't want to be at a club. You're weak. I'm not weak. I say you, I mean AA. And anyway, I called AA I didn't live too far from inner group. Lived in the village, and I said, "Oh, sweetheart, nobody wants to be part of this group. You have no money, no insurance. Why don't you give it a try?" So there was a meeting a half a block down from my apartment on 12th and Fifth Avenue. And I went that Tuesday night. Village open discussion, no longer there, because someone stole money from the church. And I got on board. By that time, I couldn't take the subway. I wasn't taking the subway or trains, or I was so panic stricken, anxiety stricken all the time that I couldn't. I rode my bicycle through all five boroughs and all seasons of weather. And so I went there, and my wife at the time was just like, "Please let it work. Please, God, let it work." She was praying. She's a child of an alcoholic. And, I met my first sponsor, but I was so paranoid that I thought he had a shotgun under his coat and was going to put it in my mouth and blow my head off. And he went out to the ante room and took a legal pad and started writing down, "If you want what we have, do what we do." And I did. And I did service, and I was a very competitive alcoholic. I wanted to be better than you, more sober than you, because I wanted to be a part of, wanted to be accepted. And I really needed a job. And I saw people in that meeting with briefcases and shiny shoes. I got a job. I got a good job. And then I started doing service. And after a year, I started sponsoring people. And my book, the AA, there's a lot of great AA literature, especially the history for me. Being in New York, I got to see all that, and the table where Ebby and Bill sat. And it's really exciting. And I did believe in God, and I was praying to God. And then after about 11 years, I'm like, this God thing is not working for me any longer. This is like, I might as well go to Atlantic City and like pull a lever. It's like, I don't, for those, I don't discount that there is a God for other people. It's just not the deity that I grew up with. I don't pray to a God. I make a determination, and then I take whatever action there is to make that come to fruition. Sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't. And my spiritual practice, which is Buddhist, is Nichiren Buddhism, is the main thing is for individual happiness and world peace. I know the actions I take that will bring me towards peace and the world towards peace. And I know the opposite of that. I know that if I drink, it'll take me further away from that. I know that it's the first drink that gets me drunk. And I'll tell you, I just want to kind of end with this, is that when I was on the second plane last night, I was like praying that nobody gigantic sits next to me. I'm just a little guy, and plane seats have gotten smaller and smaller. I swear they're going to be the size of a thimble, in 20 years. And this gigantic guy sits next to me. So, okay, whatever. He's just a person. Well, drink orders come, and he orders a rum and coke. I'm like, ah, shit. Now I am the only person on the plane and in both airports wearing a mask. I'm going, and I'm not promoting whether you should or should, or you guys do whatever you want. But for me, I wanted to. First of all, I was coming from a nursing home with sick people. I didn't want to get anything. And second of all, I just don't want to get sick. So I couldn't smell the rum. But I was what, it's like this divided line down my head. And one, the alcoholic's looking at, rum, a little stir in there, rum. And I was more interested in the design of the, as an artist now, the design of the stir. What's the alcohol? Anyway, so he pours it, and I'm looking at that and going, that is so fucking lightweight. Why didn't you order five or six to start? I mean, you are 300 pounds at least. Come on, dude. Anyway, mix it in. I'm thinking, okay. Because the other thing is, I'm thinking for a safety fake sake. People who drink on planes can be dangerous, right? So, fine. He orders another one. And I see the flight attendant look like, take a deep breath, like, oh boy, here we go. He was fine. But I have to tell you, after 12 hours of travel, being away from home for 2 weeks, seeing my brother in the condition he's in, Seeing my life before me, seeing sycamore leaves on the ground fall, another death. Every sunset is a loss, really. In fall, every season's a loss. Seeing him go is a loss. Which brings me closer to my own mortality, right? Because we all have a shelf life. I thought for a second, just a brief second, I go, no, you're not going to, because you know you have so many first steps to prove that you cannot drink one drink. And I said, I am going to show up for this meeting in the morning, sober, another day. And that is the power of us, of we. It is not me. It's us together. So I can't tell you, and I won't tell you now, the doors that being sober opened for me. I can't tell you. I would not have had a 40-year dream come true to live in the mountains of Taos, New Mexico. You know, one of the oldest indigenous pueblos ongoing, artist community. I can't tell you. Had a lot of loss. I lost a 37-year-old marriage, 37-year marriage, because I finally had to live up to thine own self be true. I had to live to that. And it's been a rough year. It's been rough, but and I love my wife. I still love her. I hope she's well. I have no idea what she's doing, where she is. However, I had to follow my path. It takes a lot of courage, and you guys taught me courage. So anyway, thank you so much for letting me do service. I'm so grateful, Louisa. I don't know any of you. Well, I do. I know Bree. I see Bree there. My friend Bree. I recognize some of your faces. I love you, even though I don't know you. I love you as fellow travelers. Thank you.